quotes you can use, and of course, the truth that set men free. So stay tuned for our Sabbath Holy Convocation service. Shalom, I'm Arthur Bailey, Chancellor of the Accredited Hebrew Roots University. Hebrew Roots University is the world's first and only accredited theological university that approaches scripture from a Messianic Hebrew Roots perspective. At Hebrew Roots University, you can earn an accredited associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degree in several disciplines. I'm ecstatic to announce our Laborers Grant available to all HRU students. Our new Laborers Grant enables us to eliminate the $50 application fee and cover 50% of tuition costs across all degree programs, removing additional financial barriers and making our tuition even more affordable to all students. There are no prerequisites or pre-qualifications required. Simply apply, and the grant would be automatically applied to your account. All students that apply today will be given a Laborers Grant, which will cover 50% off all tuition costs and will be automatically awarded for each term the student is enrolled. You can apply now. If you have any questions at any time during the application process, please do not hesitate to reach out to our admissions team using the Have Questions section at the bottom of our website. The implementation of our new Laborers Grant will provide access to as many people as possible from all nations worldwide who are desirous of higher education in ministry and becoming laborers in the end-time harvest of the kingdom. Here at Hebrew Roots University, we are dedicated to our mission to teach the true gospel of the kingdom, the gospel Yeshua taught, to people of all nations and to eradicate biblical illiteracy worldwide. We look forward to walking with you on this exciting journey, so check us out now at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Don't wait. Take advantage of our new Laborers Grant, so apply now. HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Thank you. Shalom. Shalom, saints. The last thing Yeshua said to his disciples before he ascended was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This command is known as the Great Commission. Our ministries have taken this commission very seriously and developed a discipleship training program that will change the way discipleship has been done up to now. Most discipleship training programs are denominational in their approach and is doing exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees did in the days of Yeshua. Yeshua said, "You search the world over to find one proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell as they were before you found them." The vision of Arthur Bailey Ministries and House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua the Messiah. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, we've developed Discipleship101.tv. Discipleship101.tv is a two-year seminary-level discipleship training program that takes a Messianic Hebrew Roots approach to the Scriptures. Now that we've completed this program, we are making it available to people around the world for free. We now have the opportunity to get it into every federal and state prison library and libraries around the nation. We also have the potential for getting this program accredited in universities and Bible colleges around the country. Now here's where we need your help. We need you to stand with us at the $1,500 level to help us get these workbooks printed and DVDs printed and duplicated in order to get them placed in prison libraries around the nation. For your help, we want to bless you with all of the workbooks and DVDs for each class as a thank you for helping us get this valuable information out. For your partnership, you will get all 8 workbooks and all of the DVDs by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you in advance for helping us get this valuable, extensive, messianic Hebrews discipleship training program to the nations of the world. By doing so, we're doing exactly what Yeshua said to do when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nation. Join us in this most important mission of making disciples of the nation by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. You can partner with us at this level by sending your partnership check or money order to House of Israel. If you would like to pledge your partnership with us and make payments, please do so on our website at www.arthurbaileyministries.com. Just let us know you would like to make a pledge and make payments. Please help us get this material published so it can be placed in prison libraries and libraries around the nation. Partner with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you.
House of Israel International Services are held weekly at 3601 Rose Lake Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings and 7 p.m. Thursday evenings, Eastern Time. This live broadcast is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Your financial support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Motivating. Inspiring, challenging, encouraging, deepening, strengthening, and enhancing your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to House of Israel International's live worship service.
Greetings, saints, and Shabbat Shalom. Peaceful Sabbath greetings to you all, and welcome everyone to House of Israel here today on this Jehovah's Feast Day. May you receive a blessing today. The message we have is entitled, Is Jesus God? Were you taught that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are all the same, one and the same? Perhaps you were taught or believe that Jesus was God Almighty in the flesh. You know, many Christians pray to Jesus rather than the Father and have his picture in their home. Is this all true? Should we be doing this? So stay tuned for the answer to this and many more in this eye-opening study. At the end of today's teaching, you'll be given an opportunity to give of your tithes and of your offerings as Father has blessed you. You'll also be able to ask questions, give testimonies, and request prayer at the end of today's teaching. Just go to arthurbaileyministries.com, and on the live stream page at the bottom right side, you'll see the chat icon. Just log into the chat session and submit your questions, your testimonies, and your prayer request. While you're there, we ask that you subscribe on our website so you can get notifications of upcoming teachings, titles, and events. We're also on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and X. So like, subscribe, but please share. Let us pray. Most wonderful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this set-apart day. We thank you for our lives and our breaths and to be fully healed in your presence today. We claim our healing. We bless your wonderful and holy name, Yehovah, God of all gods, the only God that we have. We love and we honor you and we thank you for all the grace, the mercy, and the love that you showed us, Father. Continue to bless us. And we love you back. Help us to walk the path, the narrow path that you have set before us, Father. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse our hearts. Renew our spirits. Help us to put to death the old man and to fully embrace the Spirit, your Spirit that is within us, Father. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Father. Again, we thank you for this wonderful day, and we ask that you continue to raise up your ministers, your pastors, your preachers, your teachers, raise up those laborers that will go forth to spread your word throughout the four ends, the four corners of the earth, Father, because we look for your coming to earth and Yeshua's return to earth. Hallelujah. Let your word go forth. Let your Spirit be upon Minister Haynes today so that we will hear your word, Father, as you have it to be said. And let everyone hearing this message today and in the future be able to understand and perceive your word, Father. And we ask these things in the mighty name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. Well, brethren, to bring us the message, is Jesus God? Minister Ronald Haynes.
Shabbat shalom, saints. All right, I'm happy to be here, excited before you this morning. We got a great word. Just want to let you know that I know that there's been a lot of controversy dealing with this message. I know this because of the spiritual attacks that I experienced throughout this week. This week was very draining, to say the least, just physically, you know. However, I'm excited to be before you this morning. Now, today's message is entitled, Is Jesus or Yeshua God? Now, see, this is an important question that we're going to examine. Now, I know like many of us, we were taught that God the Father and God the Son is one and the same. But today, we are going to go throughout Scripture to find out whether or not that's valid. At the end of today's teaching, you will be able to give of your tithes and offering, ask questions, receive prayer. Our mission statement at the House of Israel, restoring the Hebrew roots to the Christian and Jewish faiths. The vision of the House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua the Messiah. I'm going to need y'all to wake up this morning. Now, I just told you I was tired. Hope you are not. Don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit is going to wake us up this morning. Amen. Our declaration for Jehovah's blessings. I declare this is my season for peace, power, promises, and prosperity. I declare the peace of Jehovah in my life and in my body. I declare the power of Jehovah to manifest fully in my life. I declare the promises of Jehovah fulfilled in my life. And I declare the prosperity of Yehovah to permeate every area of my life. And I declare I will walk in obedience to Yehovah every day of my life. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come unto you just giving thanks, honor, and praise for the day in which you set apart and asked us to keep holy. Father, as we assemble, we welcome you into this place. I ask, Father, that you decrease the spirit of me and increase your spirit on the inside of me, so that I may deliver with accuracy your word. I hope, Father, that I am pleasing in your sight, and I thank you for the opportunity and the ability to be used as a tool in the earth for you. Father, I pray that our hearts and minds be open and be able to receive your word today, and that your word go forth and be able to change lives. In the mighty name of Yeshua, I pray. Amen. Today's message is entitled, Is Yeshua or Jesus God? Now, before you pick up your stones to throw, just sit back and give me a second to fully explain. Because I know this is something that is not often taught or recognized, but Father has an agenda here in the earth. And how I know is because a few things that I subscribe to and view in relation to the Bible, I had finished my message last week, maybe the week before. I'm not sure. I can't remember accurately. But anyway, a channel that I watch broadcasted the same topic. And I told Sister Elzora, I said, Father really wants us to know this, the truth about this subject matter. Now, I know that, you know, how many of us was taught. I know that both of my grandmothers would probably have a problem with this message that I'm about to give. But it's okay, though, because my goal is for each and every last one of us to make the kingdom. Yeah. And if we live a lie and if we practice religion instead of the truth, we'll miss the kingdom. So I don't care about feelings. Talk to the Holy Spirit about it if you got a problem. Let's proceed. Followers of Christianity adhere to the Trinitarian doctrine in that Jesus or Yeshua, Father God, and the Holy Spirit are one. But does Scripture back this way of thought? Is Jesus or Yeshua God? We will examine the passages of the Old and New Testament for a definitive answer and explain the importance of why it matters who we identify Jesus or Yeshua as. Now, believers in Christianity have been taught to pray to Jesus, to worship Jesus, all while ignoring what Jesus did and what Jesus taught. Now, see, this was my problem growing up early in the church. I pick up my Bible and I read the Gospels and the Acts of Yeshua. And I see what he did. I see what he taught. But then I look at what we was doing in the Sunday Christian church, and I'm like, this is not anything in relation to what Yeshua or Jesus did. So what are we doing? Where do we get the things that we do, the ceremonies that we practice, the traditions of men? That's what we practiced. Got a few questions for you. Now see, when I ask, is Jesus or Yeshua God? Now, originally, the title was Yeshua is not God. But I said, you know what? That's going to scare the Holy Spirit out of somebody. I said, so we're just going to ask a few questions. You know, Apostle, a lot of times when we talk, he told me that don't become argumentative in conversation. Ask questions. You'll find out where a person is in their walk just by their response. So I got a few questions for you this morning I want you to ponder on. Question number one. Since there was no Jesus in the days of old, do the righteous of the days of old not inherit the kingdom? So what does Moses not get in? Because there was no Yeshua. Now, there was Yeshua the Word in the beginning because the Word was with God. But Yeshua the man was not born yet. So does King David not make it into the kingdom because he didn't witness Yeshua? Question number two. Did God leave heaven unattended while he supposedly took human form here on earth? So I know it's a little facetious, but just imagine that Father leave the throne, leave the seat of the north, step down onto the earth in the flesh. I mean, because this is what we had been taught. But when you really think about it, it's like that doesn't make sense. Like, if you use your common sense, which common sense ain't so common nowadays. Question number three. Why did Jesus teach his disciples to pray, "Our Father, who are in heaven, hallowed be thy name"? See, Yeshua taught his disciples how to pray. So why do people pray, Lord Jesus, I just ask you to. He taught us how to pray. He said, when you pray, our Father who are in heaven. This is the same Father that is the Father of Yeshua. Never in the book did Yeshua say, pray to me. If he did, just give me the citation for the scripture so we can look it up and verify it. Now, question number four. And this is what this is the question that I always wondered as a child. And in conversation, when I would say this and people would say that I was crazy, people would say that I'm blaspheming against God and other nonsense, I asked, well, who was Yeshua praying to in the Garden of Gethsemane? Did he not say, Father, take this cup from me? Then he had to repent and say, Father, let not my will be done, but your will be done. Who is he talking to? Y'all make Yeshua seem schizophrenic, like he was talking to himself. He was talking to his Father. Question number five. Who was Jesus talking to on the cross when he said, before he gave up the ghost, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, if Yeshua is God, Yeshua wouldn't ask Father to forgive them. He would have said, look to the right and to the left and out before him and said, y'all sins are forgiven. Number six, so did God die for 3 days, and for 3 days there was no God until he resurrected? Because if Yeshua is God, then when they put Yeshua in the tomb, that would mean that God didn't exist for 3 days. So who was running the earth? You see how messed up in the mind we have become? Because we've been trained to ignore what the Bible says, but to recognize what religion teaches us. Question number seven. Since we're waiting for Jesus or Yeshua to one day return, is God not presently with us? Now ponder on that. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But didn't Yeshua leave his disciples? Now, he told them one day I will return, but he left. He ascended into the sky. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 17. When Yeshua came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I the Son of Man am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now, Yeshua in this passage, he hints at one of his titles. He says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So wouldn't it be correct to say that Yeshua is the Son of Man? Now, that's not where it stops, but that's one of his characteristics. Verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living Elohim. And Yeshua answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So Yeshua's on earth talking to Peter and telling Peter that flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. My Father in heaven revealed it to you. How is Father in heaven and on earth at the same time talking to Peter? See, I told you this morning we was going to get into it. Has this gone on for far too long? You know how many people die on a daily basis? I just think, like, out of all these people that died and thought they was doing the right thing, thought that they was worshiping, you know, the right God, but really they were in the midst of idolatry. Oh, yes. Worshiping Jesus can be a form of idolatry. Newsflash. Didn't he say, thou shalt not have no other God before me? I am the Lord your God. I'm a jealous God. So how come we think that we ignore the creator and worship the creation? That's backwards. Son, huos, apparently, primarily a son, used very widely or intermediate, remote or figuratively, kinship, child, foul, son. You see here how the King James Version utilizes this word huios. It is son of man, and we're going to get to it. It's also son of God. Children, son, his son, son of David, because Yeshua was a son of David, because he was in his he was a descendant of King David. The only begotten son, firstborn son, and miscellaneous of man. The Greek anthropos, man-faced, example, a human being. That's what Yeshua was. He was a human being. A man. We see King James Version translates the Strong's Greek 444 as the following, in the following manner. It's man 552 times within the Bible. Now, the Son of Man is a term describing man carrying the connotation of weakness and mortality. Yeshua refers to himself as the Son of Man, and Peter acknowledges Yeshua to be the Son of God, and Yeshua seems to agree. Now, Adam, the first man, was also referred to as the Son of God, and I'm going to show you in Luke chapter 3, verse 38. Now, notice that Simon Peter's reply to Yeshua when asked who he thought Yeshua was, Peter tells us that Yeshua is the Messiah and also the Son of the living God. And Yeshua affirms Christ, from the Greek Christos, means anointed, the Messiah, an epithet of Jesus Christ or Yeshua Messiah. Now see, notice how we have a play on words. See, Yeshua was Hebrew. So it would have been Yeshua HaMashiach or Yeshua the Messiah. Not, Yeshua was not Greek, newsflash. So it's not Jesus the Christ. It wasn't his name. Yeshua affirms Peter's answer as to who he was in verse 17 of Matthew 16 by detailing who it was that revealed the answer to Jehovah's question to Peter. Jehovah, his father. If Yeshua is a son, he obviously has a father. His father is the living Elohim or God. So how is Yeshua and Jehovah the same? If Yeshua told Peter it was his father in heaven that revealed who Yeshua was unto him, how is Yeshua God? Now, Yeshua again affirms who he was to Caiaphas, who was the acting high priest in Matthew chapter 26, verse 63 through 64. And he said, but Yeshua held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living Elohim that thou tell us whether thou be the Messiah, the Son of God. Yeshua said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. So you know that old saying, that's my right-hand man. We ain't the same person. He's to the right of me. Question. Here we go again. If the Son sits on the right hand of the Father, how do they share the same seat? Now, y'all pardon my sarcasm. It is acknowledged in religion that Yeshua is not sitting beside Father literally, but that he is equal in power and authority with Father over heaven and earth. Y'all understand that? Confusion in believers comes in a variety of ways. One of the primary causes of confusion as to who Yeshua was is due to Bible translators. The use of the sacred name Yehovah was diverted into the use of the Lord throughout Scripture. Then many have a New Testament Greek understanding of the Hebrew Scriptures. See, this is what's wrong with Christianity, because you start in the New Testament. Now, we don't start in the middle of anything else and think that we know the entirety. So why is it when it comes to the Bible, we think that we can jump to Matthew and go from Matthew to Revelation and we know God? Do you? See, that's the thing. I'm going to say this, and I know somebody is going to be, whew, but there's a lot of people who love God sincerely, but they don't know God. They don't know our Father. You know they don't know our Father because they worshiping and pray and praying to Jesus. You totally disregard Father. See, we so Hellenized. You know, and it's funny because the Hellenization, that's the terminology that is used for the Greek, you know, the Greek influence or the Greek understanding. And it's funny because, now, you know, we call it the lake of fire. Hell is actually the grave. But it's also funny with the word play of Hellenistic. You follow that way, probably end up in hell. Throughout our Bibles. Yehovah's name has been replaced with the Lord, which is an English title. And Yehovah nor Yeshua are Anglo-Saxon. Sorry. Throughout our Bibles, Yehovah's name has been replaced with the Lord, and Yeshua is also referred to as the Lord in the Bible. This is why people confuse. My Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Now, if you look up the word Lord, we're going to do that. No, I'm not going to jump ahead. We're going to do it. Lord. The Hebrew 3068, Yehovah. See, that's his name. Self-existent or eternal. Now, the Jews, they call him Jehovah. And also you see here, the Lord. Strong says that the Lord is used 6,510 times in the book. What's wrong with calling our Father by his name? You see, they strip his name from our lips. That takes away your power. See, this is why it became taboo to say the sacred name. But didn't Yehovah reveal himself unto his people? So if he didn't want them to know him, why would he reveal himself? Why would he have spoken directly to them until they said, we don't want to hear from you, at least we die and talk to Moses and let Moses tell us what you say? Psalms 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord. See how confusing this is. The Lord said unto my Lord. So did the Lord talk to himself? Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now, previous passages that we examined, they told you who sits on the right hand of Father. So in this Psalms 110 and 1, the word Lord is used to describe two different entities. Jehovah and Yeshua. The first Lord in Psalms 110 is Jehovah. And the second use of the word Lord is Adon or Adonai. The English usage of the words for Lord in the Bible are not distinguished. And without a keyword search, the average reader doesn't recognize the difference. And see, I didn't. I remember reading in the New Testament and I'm seeing Lord, and then I go to the Old Testament and I'm seeing Lord. I'm like, but Jesus at the time, he physically in the flesh, he's not here. So who is they talking about when they say the Lord in the Old Testament? But see, a lot of people, they just see the word, the Lord. They read it as the Lord. So Jesus is God. And then they keep moving without understanding. In order to come to my answer to the question, is Yeshua God? I had to deal with John 1.
Mm-hmm.
See, I had to look at what Christianity teaches. I had to look back on a few things. I had to see how we become so messed up. And then I had to ask Jehovah to show me, man, I'm going to tell you, like, I'm not going to say it was confusing because Father's not the author of confusion. We know that Satan is. But it was challenging for me to, he enlightened me on some things. When I say he dropped some wisdom into me as I was putting together this message, I'm sitting at the kitchen table. My children are running around. And I just start smiling. And I'm like, woo! And Zora's like, what's going on? You all right? You making random noises? We worried about you. I say, no. I said, Father is revealing some things to me that I'm like, wow. Like, I never looked at it that way. So, by most believers, according to John 1, Yeshua is considered God. And I can understand why. Because John 1 and 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. See? So, if a person just reads John 1 and 1 because they came into the faith and they're a New Testament believer and, you know, the Old Testament stuff don't apply to us because that's for the Jews and we Gentiles. Yeah, right. But if you stop right here, you would buy into the doctrine that Yeshua is God. This is why you have to search the scriptures. See, the thing about the Bible and what makes it truth and infallible is it's self-proven. See, one thing that the apostle taught me early on, and it really changed the way that I study and view the Bible, is to run everything through Torah. Even the things that Yeshua said, even the things that Paul said, run it through Torah. Because for number one, Yeshua didn't do anything that Father didn't command in Torah. And yeah, Paul had some things that Paul personally, you know what I'm saying, put before the church that was not in Torah. And then you have people out here reading Paul's letters talking about that scripture and that you're supposed to follow it. And if you don't follow what Paul said, then you're in a violation of the law. But you don't follow what Yeshua said, nor you follow what Jehovah said. So who's really in violation? We move a little bit down in that John 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now I got a question. What does it look like for Jehovah's word to become flesh? Did Jehovah not create all within the earth in 6 days with his word? Didn't he say, let there be light, and there was light? This same word was used to create Yeshua. And Yeshua was filled with this word. And Yeshua only spoke the word given to him by Jehovah. Now, I want to highlight something else, too, since we're dealing with the Son of God. Adam was the first son. See, Father put this on me last night. He formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. Adam didn't have a biological mother. Adam was the direct son of God. The difference between Adam and Yeshua would be that Adam was fallen. Yeshua never failed. Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 and 19. This is how the word become flesh. Pay attention, because if you don't really pay attention, you might miss this. And since this is being recorded, I really challenge you to go back and play this video over and over until you fully understand it. Because I know I might be going over some heads. That's not my intention. My intention is for you to get this. Father's intention is for you to get this. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whatever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Now you tell me who in this passage, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. Now I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Jehovah was talking to Moses about this, giving him a futuristic prophecy of the one Messiah to come. Yes, sir. Amen. So he said that he will put his words in his mouth. See, this is how the word became flesh. Because in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. But I'm speaking to you right now, words. Now, if my words take on a human form, you still have Ronald, the person that spoke the words, and now you have the word in human form. This would be the same thing as you still got the Father, and now you have the Son, which is the word made flesh. See, Yeshua didn't speak anything that his Father didn't tell him to speak. You go throughout the Gospels, and if you got a real study Bible, you'll see the footnotes and the keynotes that tell you he's quoting the Old Testament. He's quoting Torah. How many of us know? Listen, and Christians, you really need to think about this, because this is the obvious. If you know a little bit about history, how many of us know that during the times of Yeshua, there was no New Testament? Paul hadn't wrote his letters yet. Timothy hadn't wrote his letters yet. Titus hadn't wrote his letters yet. Yeshua taught scripture. Scripture is not letters. Scripture is what Father said in the beginning. Father said he'll put his words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that Father commanded him. And whosoever will not hearken unto the words of Yeshua that was spoken in Jehovah's name, it will be required of him, meaning judgment. John 12 and 49. For I have not spoken of myself. Come on. This is Yeshua. Your God is talking to you right now. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He didn't send himself. Who sent him? Jehovah sent him. He gave me a commandment. what I should say and what I should speak. I'm working on that right now. Man, I'm going to tell you something. And I'm pretty sure y'all know because there's been some commentary about it. My tongue can be a weapon. And I'm not proud of that. Not proud of that. I'm working on correcting myself and my flesh man and not reacting to something. Everything doesn't warrant a response. And then also learn to stop speaking from Ronald's point of view and Ronald's angle and learn to speak the word of Jehovah to a situation. See, Father blessed me with wisdom, and I can use words like a craftsman. That don't matter. See, I told y'all I was experiencing some fatigue. I was a little tired. You know why I'm tired? Trying to do everything. Not realizing that my Father is in control. Lean on Him. Depend on Him. Trust in Him. Question. If Yeshua is God, why did He not receive the Holy Spirit until He was baptized by John? Without the Holy Spirit, there is no anointing. You see? They want us to believe that God in the flesh here on earth. Well, if that was the case, because first of all, Jehovah is spirit. The Ruach, that is an anointing in itself. Matthew 3:16-17, and Yeshua, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him. And He saw the Spirit of Elohim descending like a dove and lightning upon Him. And lo, a voice from heaven. It said heaven, not earth. Saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Luke 4:18-19. The Spirit of Jehovah is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of Jehovah. These are the tasks that Yeshua was assigned. Now, He's referencing what Isaiah had already prophesied back in the Old Testament, which you discard and you don't pay attention to. This is the reason why you're confused about who Yeshua and Jehovah really are. Christians often rely on 1 John 5:7. Yeah, see, I got something for you because I know y'all back there just Googling away. We gonna challenge Him today. We gonna see what He got to say about this question. Okay, we're gonna jump ahead and meet that before you even get there. Christians often rely on 1 John 5:7 to support their belief in the Trinitarian doctrine. We have to examine this passage closely and not take it for face value, neither read into something that it does not say. So let's pay attention to what it actually says. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So I already know. See, I told you, Minister Haynes, you wrong. You blaspheme. You're incorrect. They just said that these three are one. Mm-hmm. Woe unto you of little understanding. Just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you don't understand. There are no mention of the Trinity of beings as God. The verse simply mentions that there are three in heaven who bear witness or testify, and they are in agreement. Okay, let's look at this. So for there are three that bear record in heaven. So we got three witnesses in heaven. We got the Father, we got the Word, and we got the Holy Ghost. Now, we got a colon, and these three are one. See, if you stop right here, that's where you're going to get the misapplication and the misunderstanding. So let's go a little further. I told you that meant that they were in agreement. Now, I'm gonna give you a comparison so that you can draw this in. When a man and a woman marry, the man should leave his mother and his father and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one. Now, do two people actually merge into one when they become married? Now, you saw Sister Elzora get up on that camera last Shabbat. You see me standing right here before you. Even though I'm trying to be one with my wife, we ain't physically the same person. No, because the two becoming one is about coming into agreement in all your ways. That's what it's about. So when they say that all three is one, that means they all three agree. Not that they all three is the same entity. You see, that's why I told you, Jehovah was working with me. He was showing me some stuff. You know what I'm saying? Part of it was, dealing with me, hey, you need to work on becoming more one with your wife. You know, in that, he showed me, this is what it means when it say we are one. We are in agreement. Yeshua the Son was in total agreement with the Father. He didn't do like we do and oppose what Jehovah said. Jehovah told you pork is an abomination, but you sitting there talking about this ham show is good, and you eating stuff in your face with sausage and shrimp and all these other kind of abominations. I'm on fire today. 1 John 5:8. And there are these three that bear witness in the earth, the spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. See, if you would have just kept reading and stop acting like them Sunday pastors who only read the one verse out of the whole entire chapter and then want to draw a conclusion, and you read and go down and read the whole chapter in the context, you would have went from verse 7 that told you all three is one to verse 8 that would have told you these three agree in one. So then you would have understood that it means to be one means to be in agreement. Additionally, the last portion of verse 7, starting with in heaven, and the first half of verse 8, ending with in earth, are missing from nearly all Greek manuscripts. So the question is where did it come from? See, I know we've been taught that everything in the Bible is God's word. Now, he spoke in the Bible, but we also know that there's a lot of other characters that spoke in the Bible, and those aren't God's words. And we know that there's things that were added to the Bible. Because you see things in parentheses, you see things italicized, which means that was inserted. Now, they say, theologians say it was inserted for your understanding. Some part of me believe that it was inserted for your confusion. Additionally, the last portion of verse 7, starting with in heaven, and the first half of verse 8, ending with in earth, are missing from nearly all Greek manuscripts. 1 John 5:7 is, however, found in the Latin manuscripts. So, what does this mean? It is widely believed among scholars that 1 John 5:7 was later inserted into the Bible and was not a part of the original text from Apostle John. Now, this is what, through my research, they said that the text more than likely said. 1 John 5:7-8. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. Now, if they would have left the manuscript that way, it wouldn't have been confusing. But you see how they add words to? Didn't Father say don't add to or take from my word? That's what some of these pastors do. That makes you cursed. In case you didn't know. Let's take a look at John 10, 26 through 33. Particularly verse 30. As I know someone is somewhere criticizing this message due to the misunderstanding again of what it is to be one. Don't feel left out. The Pharisees lack understanding too. Their lack of understanding caused them to kill the Son of God. John 10, 26 through 33. But ye believe not, because you are not my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Out of my hand? Out of my Father's hand. Verse 30. I and my Father are one. See, I told you this is what the Pharisees and the Sadducees killed Yeshua for. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Yeshua answered them, many good works that I have shown thee from my Father, for which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And see, you remember Yeshua responded and said, but didn't it say according to your law? Well, what law? Because some of us ain't got no regard for the law or understanding. So you missed it. Because Psalms 82 said that ye are gods. The Greek understanding of the Hebrew scriptures is problematic in multiple ways. It causes readers who spend the majority of their time in the New Testament to draw conclusions on what is before them while ignoring what was established by Jehovah and his people in the times of old. Numbers chapter 23:19. I need y'all to pay attention. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man. Now, Yeshua said he was the Son of Man. He just told you God is neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? See, Father's word don't return null and void. Whatever he sets out to accomplish with his word, he will accomplish it. Yeshua is not God. He is the Son of God. And you see the reference. We're going to go through each of these passages so I can show you. I'm not just going to give you the reference and leave it up to you. We're going to work through this. In fact, he is the only begotten Son of God, John 3:16. Yeshua is not God, but he is our intercessor to God, Isaiah 53:12. He is the atonement for our sins, 1 John 2:2. He reconciles us back to God, John 14:6. He is our example of how to stay in the spirit, although we are beings of the flesh. Father sent his Son to show the world that it is possible for man to obey Jehovah in all aspects of his life and how to do it. Yeshua was the full representative of God. That's who Yeshua was. Yeshua was a man. The only difference is that biologically, he didn't have an earthly father. There was not a man semen that met an egg to conceive Jehovah. It was the Holy Spirit and the anointing over his mother Miriam or Mary that impregnated her, causing her to give birth to the Son of God. The purpose of Yeshua, because Israel had gotten so off course from the Torah and had, after every time they come out of captivity, they take the things from the captives with them and they incorporate them into their spiritual worship. See, this is why it pays to follow Jehovah. He knows all. From the beginning, he told them to be set apart, to not mingle and to not give your sons and your daughters unto the other nations, primarily because you will go a whore and after their gods, you will offend me, and I must destroy you. So if they would have listened, then they wouldn't have been caught up in all of this mist of confusion, because he laid it out in his instruction through Moses. So because they didn't listen, as punishment, they went into captivity. You know, Israel with Assyria, Judah with Babylon, then to the Medes Persian, then to the Greeks, then to the Latin Roman. Captivity after captivity after captivity. Why these hard heads won't learn? Because they adopted the traditions of man, which many of us or many of our loved ones, families and friends and people that we know have adopted the traditions of man. We don't really understand what the purpose of Yeshua was. Yeshua is our guide. He is our roadmap. When you ask how to observe Torah or how to walk the walk, reason why he says follow me is because he was a living example of Father's word. He spoke Father's word. He lived Father's word. Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Can I just tell you? I told you that Yeshua didn't have an earthly father. The Holy Spirit caused Mary to conceive and was born, and Yeshua was born the Son of God. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Now John 3:16 tells you that Yeshua is the only begotten Son, the Son of God. Isaiah 53:12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. See, I told you, Yeshua is our intercessor. He connects us back to Father. Sin separated us from Father. So if you sin back in Torah, you had to have a sacrifice. That's why they offered animals to atone for the sins of the people. Father was not pleased with these sacrifices. So he sent his Son, which will become the ultimate sacrifice. See, when we pray, we don't pray to Jesus or Yeshua. Now, let me say this, and I hope you hear me loud and clear. You pray in the name of Yeshua or Jesus. That's what you can find in the book. Now, the reason being is, no man comes unto my Father except through me. That's what Yeshua said. So he's our intercessor. You know, some people say he's my lawyer in a time of trouble. Mm-hmm. He's a lawyer for us all, because he's going to help us to present our case. See, we're going to be judged by him, but we also represented by him. Well, at least some of us will be. Hope he's by your side in judgment. 1 John 2:2. And he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And propitiate, propitiate, pro, ah, pro, Propitiation is another word for atonement. So he is an atonement for our sins. Like I stated to you once before. John 14 and 6. Yeshua saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Remember I told you? No man cometh unto me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, a true understanding of who Yeshua is keeps us from idolatry. Most importantly, it allows us to unlock our true power through the faith in Yeshua. We must follow and respect Yeshua. Please know that. I 100% respect my brother. I'm going to get to that. I hope you caught that. We must follow and respect Yeshua. However, we must stop deifying Yeshua and learn to see him as our brother. And I know it's like, you just commonize God. You said he's our brother. He's your savior. Oh, okay. Jehovah created Yeshua. Do you worship the creation or do you worship the creator? Now you ponder on that. See, lie on that. See, Yeshua, he preached the gospel, healed the sick, restored sight to the blind, and much more. And did he not tell us that we have the same ability to do as he did and much more or even greater? So the question now becomes, why are we not able to heal the sick, restore the sight to the blind, etc.? Because this is the problem with deifying Yeshua. You look at Yeshua and you say, well, he's God and I'm not. So I can't do what he did. You ever hear somebody, you call yourself walking in the authority that Father gave you, and somebody try to humble you and they tell you, what you think? You think you God? You ain't God. No, I'm not. Never said I was. But I want to do what God told me to do and be pleasing to him. So the question is why are we not doing these things in the earth? You know why? Because we've elevated Yeshua to be Father God. When, first of all, some say, and I often call him this, or I'll say it for short if I'm sending a text. Brother Steve usually sends me a nice Shabbat Shalom text every Sabbath. So I'll send him a back and I'll say, Shabbat Shalom, all praises to the Most High. Now, listen, the Most High. It can only be one Most High. You can't have two Most High. That's a competition. See, he told his disciples that everything you saw me do, you can do. Aren't we disciples? It's time for us to walk in that authority. It's time for us to heal some people, preach the gospel. Restore sight to the blind. Raise the dead. John 14 and 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. See, this is Yeshua talking to his disciples. And before he ascends, and he says, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also. So why is it so hard for you to believe? Because you're not God. Well, neither is Yeshua. Matthew 12, verse 48 through 50. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards the disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So right here, Yeshua just told you he is our brother. I ain't done there because I like to say, I told you the Bible's a self-proving book, so it's going to mention some more about this. We're going to keep going. We about done. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. See, he just told you, as many of us that receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Wasn't Yeshua the son of God? If you follow Jehovah and his laws, does that not make you the sons of God? So if that's our father, if Jehovah is my father and he's the same father to Yeshua, does that not make us brothers? Come on now. In closing, Yeshua came through the womb of a woman like you and I. Yeshua breathed life as we do. He breathed. Didn't he take his last breath on the cross? Yeshua died, as many of us will one day also, unless we're here when he returns. Lastly, but most importantly, Yeshua resurrected, and so will we. I'm not Yeshua, and neither are you, but we must strive to live our lives after the example set by Yeshua. Once we stop viewing Yeshua as deity or God, we will truly understand the power we have and the things we can do with Jehovah by our side. And that brings us to an end. Hope it was a blessing to you, because it definitely was a blessing to me. All right. Well, we made it. So I'll go ahead and lead us in prayer as we get ready to accept offerings. So you can let us pray. Dear Jehovah, we come unto you at the time to give, giving back a portion of what you've given to us. We pray, Father, that as a result of our giving, none of us lack, and that you multiply tenfold, 20-fold, 100-fold, as you see fit, Father, to bless us. Father, thank you for meeting us at the point of our needs and that we lack for nothing. I pray, Father, that we be blessings amongst others, Father. I pray, Father, that the resources go to spread the gospel to the four corners of the world, Father. That you open our hearts and our minds, Father, to be able to receive you, Father, to be able to walk in your ways, not to lean onto our own understanding, Father. And we thank you for being the provider. We thank you for caring for us. In the mighty name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen. All right. Now, your support is greatly appreciated as also needed. If you view on the screen, we have listed some several ways that you can give. You could give electronically by following the addresses on the screen. Or you can traditionally mail in your support by check or money order to the following address. Or you can give by text. All right, Brother Sean, with the announcements.
Hey, greetings, brethren.
Greetings.
We got a short and sweet announcement today. You know, it seems like every time I get up here, the month is really going by. You know, today is the last Sabbath, and it's the 25th day of the 11th biblical month. So we're expecting the new moon. That's right, the new moon to be sighted in Israel on either Wednesday or Thursday of next week, and that'll start the 12th biblical month. So don't forget to join us for our corporate prayer on the second day of the biblical month. Now, if all this is getting kind of confusing, don't forget to get the Arthur Bailey Ministries app on your halfway smart device, and that way you'll get notification of the new moon and the corporate prayer. And also, very important, continue saving your second tithes. It's never too late to start if you have not yet done it. Second tithes, remember, is basically a savings account that will allow you, enable you to attend the feast. And we would love to have you here with us at House of Israel in Charlotte for the early feast, and that's Passover and unleavened bread. And with that, shalom, Shabbat.
Shabbat shalom. All right, now we'll take questions internally as well as online.
Our first question comes from Sue. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh." Was Yeshua God in the beginning?
No. That was what the entire message was about.
From Spence, Shabbat Shalom. If Yeshua isn't him, how could his son being sanctified bring the northern tribes back into covenant when in Jeremiah 3:8 it says that they were divorced? I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of all her adulteries. Yet I saw that her unfaithful sister Judah had no fear. She also went out and committed adultery.
Can you repeat that question? So I can respond appropriately.
If Yeshua isn't God, how could a son being sacrificed bring the northern tribes back into covenant when they were divorced?
Well, first of all, a lot of that was prophesied about in the Old Testament. That doesn't make Yeshua God because he performed that task. That means he fulfilled a prophecy. That doesn't make him God. Next question.
From Stephen. This connects to your second question. Did he leave heaven unattended while he supposedly took human form on earth? When we look at Genesis 18, the text shows something important about the nature of Jehovah. The verse states Jehovah in verse 1 appeared to Abraham in human form. This alone demonstrates the Most High is fully capable of manifesting himself on earth without abandoning his sovereignty in heaven. His presence is not limited or confined the way human presence is. If I'm misunderstanding the verse, could you please provide clarification?
Yes. I would like for, like I said, beginning at this message, I know this is a very difficult message probably to understand, so that's why I challenge you to go back and watch it over and over and over again till you get proper understanding. Well, let me just respond to that question with a question that will actually like maybe give some insight into some things. So doesn't the Bible say that no man has ever seen the face of God? Does it not? So explain to me, Peter, Andrew, James, John, Matthew, didn't they see Jesus' face? So how do we deal with that?
It was Genesis 18:1.
Genesis 18. Gotta come to the mic, brother, if you wanna say something. So, and it says in verse 1, and Jehovah appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent of the door in the heat of the day. When they say he sat, they're talking about Abraham sat in his tent during the heat of the day. And when it says that Jehovah appeared unto him, The spirit, Yahweh is spirit. Please take this in. I don't know how many times I'm going to say it. Let your hardness of your heart go. The reason why you got a problem with the message is because you want God to fit your criteria instead of fitting his. That's the problem with us as human beings. He said what he said. Now, and Yahweh appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. It's the spirit. Does Yahweh not appear to you? And if he does, how does he appear to you? Do you not hear the voice of Yahweh? When I hear Yahweh, I don't physically see a man. He ain't sitting in front of me talking to me. He tunes my soul in frequency with him so that I can understand. He gives me visions. We really got some work to do. And that's the reason why this message came forth. See, the problem is a lot of people know Jesus, but they don't know Father. And this is exactly the reason on judgment that the gate is going to be wide to the path of destruction.
We can turn four.
You know, I turn on these award shows and it's negativity on TV. I just want to thank God. I just want to give an honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Everybody seemed to love Jesus and paint him out to be some type of hippie. Jesus was accepting of everything. He loved everybody. Yeah, he did, but he didn't love their sin. We supposed to let gays and homosexuals and lesbians run rampant in the church and all this other foolishness and won't check it because we want to say, well, don't judge. Jesus loved everybody. He told us to judge them by their fruit. My sheep hear my voice.
So to speak specifically to Genesis 18, it's also part of Genesis 19. If you look at Genesis 18, 1, it says that the Lord appeared to Abraham near the great tree of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. And the question was, or the statement in the question is that Abraham, that Yahweh appeared to Abraham in human form. The verse don't say that, first. Second, the second verse says, Abraham looked and saw three men. So when you look at the three men, it says three men, but until you get into Genesis 19, it states that two of those men were angels. So the conclusion would be that all three were angels, and Yahweh appeared many times in Torah, in the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament as the angel of the Lord. And so we can't put him in human form in these passages unless it specifically say that. But in searching that matter out, we come to the conclusion that it's an angel of the Lord.
Thank you. Next question or comment?
Stephen had a part two to his question. Now, in the same chapter in Genesis 17 through 22 gives us even more insight. These verses describe a conversation between Yahweh and two other beings in which it was followed by Abraham's intercession. In verse 17, when Yahweh says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" It shows intentionally relationship and divine deliberation, not isolation. Yahweh is not acting alone or in absence. He is engaging with other beings while still fully present with Abraham. In verse 22, the text says that two beings went towards Sodom, But Abraham remained standing before Jehovah, which means he was still present with Abraham. The other two beings carried out the mission, and heaven was not empty or unattended. Does that mean he was simultaneously present in multiple realms?
No, and I'm not going to go down a rabbit hole. What I would say is this. Please be very careful not to insert things into the text that are not there. Please. Next question.
Our next question is, Paul makes a striking statement in 1 Corinthians 10:4, where he writes, they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Stephen asked, would we provide some clarity on that?
Yeah, that is correct. The rock was Yeshua that Moses struck. How, you said provide clarity. What's the question other than was Yeshua that rock?
Would we please provide some clarity on him being the rock?
Yeshua, in that passage that you're talking about, Yeshua would be the rock. Okay, there's also different events that happen in the Bible in which it's believed that the spirit of Yeshua, really, because they say the angel of Jehovah, we do believe that Messiah was that rock. Now, I don't really understand exactly what you want me to clarify or explain, but he was that rock. I'm sorry, I don't understand your question. If you can clarify, maybe.
Okay, our next question. Let me see. Is from Cassandra. Thank you for the teaching, Brother Ronald. I've also heard some use those verses to prove Yeshua is Elohim, like in John 8:58, very truly I tell you, Yeshua answered before Abraham was born, I am. And Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty Elohim, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. How would you respond to these?
Yeshua told you that he and his Father are one, but that doesn't mean that they're one in the same entity. It means that they are in agreement. Can I have the citation for the verse again? Did it say Isaiah?
It was Isaiah 9:6.
Okay, first of all, let's read this slowly. For unto us a child is born. So a child, a man. Unto us a son is given. Then we say in his teaching that he was the son of God. And the government shall be on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace. Okay.
Run.
Excuse me. We have a question on this.
and to help my brother out to add to the solution. This is a prophecy for now. It was a latter-day prophecy, and it goes back. The Isaiah prophecy of 9 and 6 goes back to Zechariah 9:9. The person that will receive the kingdoms is also the same person that's prophesied it in Genesis 49:10. So I think to clear the confusion, because when Christ was here the first time, when Yeshua was on earth the first time, he did not receive the kingdom. He did not receive the kingdom. So I think to clear up confusion, to help my brother out, Isaiah 9:6 is a future prophetic utterance about the Genesis 49:10 person and also the Zechariah 9:9 person. And that's the person that tread the winepress for God. And that is a future utterance for now, because it said upon his throne and upon David's throne, there should be no end. So it'll be two people. And I don't want to go too deep, but to clear it up, that's something we're fixing to see that come to pass. Unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government would be upon his shoulders. And we see the same terminology in Zechariah 9:9. But the only person that the Father told us who the obedience of the nations will come to at the latter day, and you mentioned it when Moses said a prophet like me will rise. Well, the Gematria value of Moshe is shallow. We was told that in Genesis 49:10, that the obedience will come unto him. So that's the person that's prophesied about in Isaiah 9:6. So the person can have clarity that was on the end, the other end.
Thank you for that, brother.
Our next question comes from Cassandra. If Jehovah calls himself the first and the last in Isaiah 44:6, thus saith Jehovah, King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last. Besides me, there is no Elohim. Why did Yeshua call himself first and last in Revelation 1:18? When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of death and Hades.
Didn't I say in the teaching that Yeshua spoke the words of Jehovah? Jehovah filled Yeshua with his words. So that's why he spoke that. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. So in the beginning, it was just Jehovah and his word. Jehovah spoke these things. The Word became flesh, and the man that was in the flesh spoke these things also. Okay.
Our next question comes from Spence. A follow-up question for the Northern Tribes question I had earlier. It seemed to be a fact. Yeshua came from the lost house of Israel. His sacrifice brought them back in. But according to the law, marriage is binding until the husband or wife dies. With Yeshua being Yahweh in the flesh, his humanity died as a perfect sacrifice to bring us back into covenant. Yeshua also fulfilled the law of the jealous husband with the bitter drink. But is Yeshua Yahweh manifested in the flesh?
No. No. That's what we spent an hour and 15 minutes. That's what the message was about.
When we look at what has been communicated, because I can tell you right now, we'll be here all day into next week. What's important, and I think that Minister Ronald brought it out very clearly, is there's two voices when it comes down to who Yeshua is that really matters. And that is what Yeshua said about himself and what Jehovah said about Yeshua. Now, there's a lot of other voices. And in the first, second, third century, this wasn't even a conversation. Nobody in the first century, the second century, or the third century considered Yeshua as God. They understood who he was. This is the doing of denominational theologians who have inserted information through theology that gives us this whole, well, who is Yeshua? Yeshua said exactly who he was. When Father said, "This is my son," that's what he meant. When Yeshua said he is the Son of God, that's exactly what he meant. And when he said when he was about to ascend, he's going to, as after the resurrection, when he told the woman not to touch him, he says, "I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Now, all of this theological back and forth and trying to understand, Isaiah didn't explain what he meant. How can we explain Isaiah when Isaiah didn't explain what he meant? And so with that, what we find ourselves doing, if we're not careful, is reading into things, information that is just not there. It's about pulling out what is there. And if we don't understand what is there, we can't speak on what is there. However, that doesn't stop people from speaking. Here we operate in eisegesis, not in exegesis, yes.